Okay, we talked about this the first two segments, but with the news the last 15 minutes and more news coming up with Brian O'Hara at the bottom of the hour, I think we should continue talking about it again. We're talking about the 10-year-old kid who's been arrested as he was weaving in and out of a school playground, okay? The fact that he had 30 interactions with the police going back to May of 2023. May of 2023 until now, October 4th. Including vehicle matters, assault with a deadly weapon, and then the debate again, which we talked about, the two of us, lots of texts. What is going on? Why does this keep happening? Yes, we can have an aberration or two, but guess what? This is more than just an aberration. And we talk about it a lot here in Minneapolis to suggest it doesn't happen in other big cities. That would be a lie. But guess what? This is more of a Minnesota show than any. It's more of a metro show than any. And the economic engine of this state is Minneapolis. And crime issues in Minneapolis have been discussed endlessly. And so we talked about how can this be happening? Parental responsibility. The fact that the parents in the story were looking for help. And Mary Moriarty and the staff put out a release. Part of what it said, and Mark said it, but I want to emphasize key parts of this. It is important to note that in all cases, a person, including the child, cannot be prosecuted if they're not capable of understanding the legal proceedings or assisting their lawyer in the defense. A court-appointed psychologist makes a recommendation on competency to a judge who ultimately makes the decision. If a child is found not competent by the court, the case against them must be dismissed. Continues. We are facing an urgent crisis in our community related to a small group of children who are not competent to stand trial in the juvenile justice system, but who cannot safely be at home. We are actively engaged with law enforcement, as well as county and state partners, about the critical need for safe and appropriate out-of-home placements for children with these complex needs who require specialized care. What we need is clear. Again, this is from Mary Moriarty and the Hennepin County Attorney's Office. Residential placements with varying levels of security in our community that are resourced and staffed to be able to accept and successfully treat our youth with complex needs. And we need urgent and immediate action. We do. And let's be honest about this, because part of us might be thinking, wait a second, Dave, is this kid getting out again? Just like other kids are getting out? And it seems like that may happen here. You do have to be competent enough to understand the charges, Dave. And most of the time we probably think about that with mental health, right? And psychological issues that are well beyond when many of us might see a therapist. Your understanding. I think there are others who might hear that and think, give me a break. Are you kidding me? Giving me a break. So where is the line here? Because let's say it's, in this case, it's this 9 and 10-year-old kid, Dave. And he does not have the intellectual understanding of what's going on. A lot of criminal charges here to say he had some sort of intellectual capability to continue to commit crimes, to have the wherewithal to do that. Now, wherewithal to do that, along with wherewithal to understand the repercussions, sometimes they go together, sometimes they're separate. I don't want us to be soft on what continues to happen. But I also understand you can't break laws. We need to pass different laws, but we do need to find a way where kids, something different happens. It can't be a kid who over and over and over again is committing serious, violent offenses. In this case, driving through a playground could have killed multiple kids. And then the idea is, well, he's too young, doesn't understand it, go back home. That's not enough, right? That is just not close to being enough. So what other facilities do we have in the biggest city in the state, the biggest county in the state, where you would send kids for, yes, rehabilitation and a path to progress? Where is that? What is that? Because if we keep just letting 11, 12, and 13-year-olds out and they keep doing the same thing, what happens if one of these kids kills someone? What happens if one of these kids runs somebody over and injures someone? We just keep letting them out because they're so young, they don't understand this? You can't treat them the same way as a 25-year-old because they're 11, 12, but you can't just say, too bad, we can't do anything, and basically say, we'll see you in a couple weeks. Or who knows, maybe we'll see you later this week. That isn't enough.
It's throwing your hands up in the air is, as you said, it's not enough. It's not enough to say, well, look, our hands are tied here. We've got a situation where, you know, the juvenile in question can't form a defense, can't understand the charges against him, can't understand the repercussions, whatever it is. So, I'll just have to send him back home and hopefully it doesn't happen again. And you do that 30 times. You do that 30 times until he steals the car, nearly kills.
Yeah.
Heavens knows
kids.
How many kids or, you know, playground workers that are out there. And
deadly
and,
weapon, and, assault.
And, yeah. It's been, what, 16, 17 months, and now we're talking about it finally?
Yeah.
No, that's.
Well, we're talking. Let's be honest. Hanford County's putting this statement out because of the publicity
yes.
tied to it. What they've done involving this kid behind the scenes, the truth is, we don't know.
No.
The reaction is from a lot of us, two of us included, who feel like Moriarty has been up to the job at times. We wonder what she was doing before. She may have been doing a lot in this case. I don't know. But I get how people are probably are inclined to say, oh, now she's speaking out. And it might be true. Maybe
yeah.
they weren't doing enough. I don't know.
Well, I'm more saying we as a public are now having to jump into it because we all saw the video.
Yeah,
because we've
right.
all heard the story now, and now we're having to, you know, dig into it with the media's help, certainly. And it's something I'm sure was being done, but it clearly wasn't enough.
No,
it clearly was not even close to enough.
We need a path that at some level the public may view as punishment, but we still need to follow the law. As angry as I am, you are, and others on this happening, we still have to follow the law on mental awareness of what you're doing. Sometimes individuals who continue to commit crimes without the mental awareness, they go to other places
mm-hmm.
and see if through treatment, through medication, they can be helped. I also think it's going to be very notable that Brian O'Hara is talking at 135.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have plenty to say, and I'm sure part of it will be, look, this is a 10-year-old kid who's, you know, who knows what issues he has. But a 10-year-old kid, going back to when they were 9 and possibly 8, doesn't have 30 interactions with police, including stealing a car, including assault with deadly weapons, by themselves.
No.
There are enablers.
Yeah.
You have to assume yes. kids who are older that are bringing him along and doing all this stuff with him.
And the parental care question is out there. In this case, from some of the first reporting on this, the parents seem to be crying for help, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We will have a reporter at the O'Hara briefing. We can't carry it, but we're going to react to it. Guaranteed. We'll make sure we get that information ASAP. We should also note that Joe Biden, as he rarely does, in the last 10 minutes has showed up in the White House briefing room. We know why. They have good economic numbers today. The jobs numbers were higher than expected, 254,000. Unemployment ticked down to 4.1. So conveniently, the president decided to answer some questions. Looked like he talked for about 5 minutes on the economy, but he's answering questions on a variety of topics, including Bibi Netanyahu. He's done a little bit of this, but this is his first extended time answering questions in an extended period of time. Absolutely, in a formal way, this is the first time in months and months. Sometimes with the helicopter blaring, with the plane blaring, when he just landed in various sites. But this is, I mean, we're into our fifth or sixth question. So Joe Biden, as he should be doing often, as Kamala Harris should be doing often, as Tim Walz should be doing often, should be answering more questions. Trump and Vance happen. God knows what Trump has to say. Buckle up when he starts talking. But he has talked, and not just softball questions, by the way. He's talked to a variety of other people. And you know me, big Trump supporter. Okay, this topic before we get to Shaletta. For anybody who's running a marathon, great respect. I couldn't do it. You are a runner. What you do, great respect. I couldn't do it. So if you're out there and, you know, you're Dan Cook, who's got a mansion on Lake of the Isles.
Two of them.
And he wants to support friends who are running the marathon. I get it. You don't know him, and you support him as they run by you. I don't get it. Again, good on you. Great respect for what these folks are able to do. Does Hauser run? Does anybody know?
I think he speed walks.
Speed walks, okay. Yeah. Does that do anything for you if you're not cheering? It's not Lindsay. It's not great friends. It's just random strangers, and you're out there. Let's go. Come on. Now, there's some decency about you. I get that.
There's Sounds a like lot. You don't get that, actually.
I think there's other ways to show decency. I got to be honest. I mean, Cook might be out there going, hey, Tubby, why don't you just quit? You know, really? That's all the faster you're going? Where do you stand on you loved? I'm not faulting them. I just don't get it. Would you want to be out there? And it's not about seeing somebody close to you. Random strangers running by, you think it sounds great, or you're like, I'd rather clean the carpet at WCCO Radio, where it's the most disgusting carpet on the planet. Where do you stand?
Those are very, very different things right there. The carpet is far worse than standing outside for an hour.
I know, but
I'm
saying if the option is I got to just watch random strangers run by, which, by the way, for most people, you can do that any day. You can do that any day. Go to Bidet Bukowski. Hey, there's runners. Yeah, good job. I think it's about you. You want the attention on you when there are other people out there. What do you want to say? 651-461-9226.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A lot of text still on the 10-year-old kid. All the interactions with the police and Moriarty's statement on understanding, having the wherewithal to understand the repercussions, and if not, can't face charges, looking for places for kids to go. Lots of text. Some on the marathon, too. Let's combine both of them. Shaletta, in about 10, Matthew Collar at 205 in the Am I Wrong committee at 254. Well, I guess here's what it comes down to. When you're a kid, you can do whatever the hell you want. There's no consequences. I don't believe that's going to get any better with that clown as the county attorney. That's Moriarty. I don't get the sense that this texter is a fan of Mary.
Doesn't seem to be.
Just a hint.
Unless they're an avid clown supporter, but
clowns are a bit overrated.
Well,
right?
Not to everybody.
They are.
I'd say clowns are a lot overrated, but some people are clown enthusiasts, Chad.
Yeah.
To each their own.
They're troubled. Clowns are pretty lonely and looking to go out there and
Don't get
too involved in your life.
Don't insult the clowning community.
You have insulted the clowning community many times, so I don't think you should have the audacity to question me.
Excuse me?
Question me. There is a balance of this conversation, though, right? Where is the level of responsibility? Because we still, within our justice system, have to have some level of, if you don't understand what you're doing, you're treated differently than someone who commits an evil, vicious act. That is true, because we have mentally unstable individuals. We also have mentally unstable individuals and individuals who aren't intellectually capable because they're younger, who among the acts they commit, brutal, villainous, vicious, dangerous, harming, killing. So what do we do with them? Because what we're doing in Minneapolis for the young kids and those, and I'm not sure it's a huge number, but it's a number that keeps doing this, as we said last hour, over and over and over again. However many overs you want to throw out, and it's not working. And so I'll be curious, because I think it's very clear the O'Hara-Moriarty relationship has had its bumps, has had its up and down moments where he flat, even with Adam and Jordana this week, when I think it was Adam who recapped something, and O'Hara said, well, that's what she said, she's lying. And clearly, from multiple sources that I know are plugged in, on the young kids who stole the car and they were shot, that the police and Moriarty's office were trying to work together, and Moriarty went one way and had a press briefing, and then O'Hara only scheduled a briefing after to basically say Moriarty's not telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of response will we get from O'Hara here later?
It's going to be very curious. I'm very interested to hear it. I mean, specific to this case, but then I think just the general, what we've heard the last month and into years of the problem with youth crime and how this case reflects those. And, like we said earlier, those that were clearly enabling, helping mm-hmm. the 10-year-old,
yeah,
doing
right.
these things with the child, and how that relates to, I'm sure, dozens and dozens and dozens of other groups of kids that have been, like we said, in and out, in and out, in and out.
And there's a lot of parent, prosecute them. Both of us have said, if you can show a link, yes. In this case, from the reporting as of now, it appears the parents have been saying, help us. But the point you've made a couple times now, which is very valid, who else in this chain involved in this 10-year-old kid has been helping them, has been aiding them in some manner? More text here, and we'll get to Shaletta in a couple minutes. How long till those numbers get revised downward like the last time? Substantially. That's talking about the jobs numbers. Well, today's, and by the way, we've had numbers that were lowered. In fact, early in the summer, some were lowered significantly. This texter's right. But in this report today, they not only had the 254,000, which was almost 100,000 more than last month, that July and August's numbers were jumped up, right? So it happens both ways. So just to assume that only, when it's near an election that they only go one way. We've seen it go both manners. How wonderful is it to support strangers doing stuff like that? I support strangers in a lot of different ways. I do. Just watching run. Now, if you get together with, if you're out there with buddies, family members, and it's just your way to get together, and this is the backdrop, okay, I get it. But just on your own, just to cheer runners, you literally can do that every day, you know.
Yes, but you don't get an event like this. This is a different thing, Chad. This is the Twin Cities Marathon. Wearing my finisher's shirt from 10 years ago today. Can see you weren't out there.
Sounds like you've quit now. Why aren't you out there on Sunday? We'd appreciate it. Show Chad Hartman Show at Dave_Harrigan. That might have helped.
I would have, but you wouldn't have come out to see it anyway.
No. If you ran by the house.
I goes by the house.
And I was home.
If you lived on the marathon route, would you, you know, grab your hot chocolate in the morning, your croissant, and the newspaper, and just hang out on the front porch?
If I lived on the route, and I know you or any other friends were coming by.
Even if it wasn't anybody, would you say, hey, I know the race usually comes by around 7:30. I'll hang out for a half an hour and just take a look.
Mm-mm. No, because in theory, if I'm on that path, I can see runners every single day. And I can give them a thumbs up.
Here's what you need to do. And I've heard of people that do this. If they've got a big race around, but they don't, well, I mean, they could live on the path. Maybe they don't. Go out there about mile one. Watch a few runners go by and pick somebody out. Pick somebody out who's dressed flamboyantly. Somebody you can pick out of a crowd, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Note of their bib number. And then you can, you know, use an app or whatever to follow them along the race route. That becomes your runner for the day. You go drive to mile six. All of a sudden, this person starts seeing you at every mile.
Well, this is stalking.
It's a little bit.
Okay.
But it's kind of fun.
I didn't realize you were so in favor of stalking.
It's kind of fun.
Just because you don't understand doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. I say this all the time. I mean, I say it incessantly. We do a lot of facts in the show. We do a lot of opinions. And even the first time I said it, I go, if you want to do it, you do you. I just don't get it. I'm not saying everybody has to live their life like me, thank God, because you wouldn't want to. I'm just giving my opinion on an opinion-driven show. And when people are saying, well, we don't know the Vikings, we don't know the Twins. I don't watch buddies play touch football in their backyard either. Right?
Maybe you should.
No, I'm good. There is some level of snobbery for me with excellence of the professional level. Do I go watch high school sports? I really don't. I know it's great. I did when my kid played. Bravo. You do it. If you're running, amazing. I don't have that gene in me. I should. So I'm being as genuine as possible. That is fantastic that you do it. We all should be committed to things in our life, especially ones that keep us in good shape. But just to watch others on your own, not a group. I think there's ways to support folks. Just for me to devote an hour to that, it's just not my thing. Shaletta, I'm late. She's not going to be happy. Let's pause. Among the texts, why should any of us care that you don't care? Why even bring it up? I'm an opinion host. I'm giving opinions, including to stir it up a little bit, to go against the grain, to get people going, just like this individual does.
Not me. Uh-uh.
The queen.
I stay in my lane. I try to keep my head down and get my work done. I don't make no waves. I don't cause no problems for nobody.
Okay, we're going to get to your waves in a second. Let's get to my guy, Daniel. And let's just lay out the incredible progress Daniel and also your two other autistic kids have made. But let's
It's not about them right now.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say. But today is about Daniel.
Yes, it is.
Take people through the progression.
Daniel was 4.5 years old, nonverbal, in a pamper, no eye contact, unable to follow simple commands. The people at the Lovas Institute, the ABA therapy that we were getting for him and the other two kids, pulled me into a meeting and said, we cannot justify to the insurance that this therapy is working. We're going to have to pull the services out of the home because
that's soul crushing.
In 3 years, the needle has not. They got to Daniel when he was 18 months old. And at 4.5 years old, he had made no progress. I still have his autism evaluation at 4.5 years old. I'm about to cry, and I don't cry. It said he had no functional language. This is not something that I wrote down. This is something that was written up, a 18-page report by Dr. Rebecca Hudock at the University of Minnesota Voyager Autism Clinic. She said at 4.5 years old, my autistic child Daniel in 2019 had no functional language.
You cried that day.
Did I cry?
I will be honest. There have been many days with Quentin where I'm normally not a crier, but I was crying, and we've had some days like that too.
That just
blows you away.
I remember going in my closet and closing the door and praying and asking God to just please help my child. I was like, I don't know what you're going to do, Lord, but I need a miracle, because if these people pull out of the house, he's not going to get services. He's not going to get better. I need your help. And that's when that boy came up to me while I was washing dishes the very next day. And he started singing Old Town Road.
Mm-hmm.
And we start using music to teach him. Fast forward to 2024. He is in fourth grade. He is doing math on a 10th grade level.
That's amazing.
Reading on a 9th grade level. So I tell people all the time, don't ever give up hope. I watch you and Quentin and how you never give up. You keep going. You keep pressing. You keep pushing. You keep bringing him. I was so excited that you brought him to my book giveaways and my son's graduation party. You know, a lot of times when parents have kids with special needs, you know, it's just so easy to say, you know what, I'm just going to give up. We're just going to stay in the house. We're not going outside.
Right.
I'm going to let the school handle it. But we got to keep pressing. And I see it in your son. I see it in my son and so many other parents who have kids with autism. Do not let these people tell you what your kids cannot do. Do not give up, because things can and oftentimes will get better, whether it is slightly better or by leaps and bounds. If you just keep pressing and praying, you're going to see some results.
Well, it's really a metaphor for all of life, too,
right?
You know, it resonates with me so much because my love for you, how much I love the kids, because I see the kids often because you take them everywhere. Often because, Dave, you also require Sean to come with you or else he would escape.
He would get away, and we don't want that.
And then knowing all the therapies that Q's had. So it just warms my heart. But for all of us in different aspects of our life, when individuals tell you you've maxed out, that's it. That is as far as you're going to go.
Ain't going to get no better.
Professionally, personally, you name it. And sadly, sometimes these individuals are right. Okay? There are many ways for us to say, I heard you. I heard it, but I'm going to keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to keep going, and maybe I will not eclipse what you said, but maybe you will.
And maybe you will
blow it away like Daniel has destroyed that report.
Okay, so
I mean, I might go back to those folks and say, "Have I introduced you to my son Daniel here?" Can I read this report? You know,
no functional language. Don't even think about it. Don't worry about it. It's not going to ever get any better. Put him in a class with deaf kids so that he can learn sign language, because he's never going to talk. I said, he's 4 years old now. What can you do? We can put him in a group home when he turns 14, because there's nothing that we're going to do for your child that's going to work. Okay. Praying, pressing, not giving up, lots of therapy. He starts singing. He starts talking. Fast forward to 2024. On Monday, his teacher sends out a note to all the fourth grade parents to say that fourth graders can now be on student council.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at Daniel. I said, would you like to be on student council? He said, sure. I said, okay, well, you got to write a speech. So him and his sister went in the other room. They wrote a speech. And he memorized that speech. And so his mama, because, you know, I'm an extra day, I bought a shirt that said, vote for me.
Shocking, Dave.
surprised that was it.
It's his vote for me. Right. I didn't put his face on it because I didn't want to seem like we were, you know, trying to get an advantage over the other
church. Put your face on it, to be honest.
I figured on the back it's going to say, or else she's going to show up. And yeah, then, boom, there she is.
Yeah. And so he got in class with microphone. He had a speech memorized.
Well, it's on Twitter.
It's on Twitter.
I retweeted it. You can check it out.
It's amazing. He delivered his speech to the normal developing fourth grade classroom, and they overwhelmingly voted for him to
That's
be on
so good.
Council.
That is so good.
First autistic child at Great Cloud Elementary School to be on a student council.
Bravo.
Woo!
You know, you,
Hallelujah.
Daniel, and everybody that has a heart should be proud. Let's talk about Shaletta's latest column. Stirring it up.
Not me.
At the Star Tribune. All right. I would say we should be talking about, you know, Halloween, Dave. Shaletta just told me we need to talk
Christmas.
We got to
talk about Christmas because at 10 o'clock this morning, the Steels Family Christmas Show tickets went on sale. Now, it's been a couple of years since the Steels had their annual traditional Christmas show, and it is back. And the tickets went on sale at 10 o'clock this morning. At 10:01, I had my tickets. I have literally not, I called my mama. I said, I'm not coming to Houston for Christmas because I'm going to see Javita, Geraldine, Billy, JD, and Fred Steele put on this Christmas show. Have you heard the Steele sing?
I have.
Okay.
Number of times.
Okay.
Amazing.
Okay. Okay. It don't get no better.
Where are they performing?
I don't know. I just bought my ticket.
Okay, you just bought your tickets.
But there's a story on Odyssey because I was so excited. I wrote a story. It's on WCCORadio.com. There's a link where you can buy your tickets. But they went on sale. There's 2 days. There's Saturday, I think the 21st at 7 p.m. And then the Sunday, which we're going to, the Sunday at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to church, have something to eat, go see the Steels. It's been like 3 or 4 years.
I'm not sure you should say we because Sean and the kids may be in Houston.
No.
Dave?
No. No, we are going to see the Steels. I bought six tickets.
You might mean there's going to be six bodies.
Yeah. the other five may not be Brundage family members.
This is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship. We are going to see the Steels.
You see what happens when one member of the dictatorship gets a little freedom. He remembers what the dictator
Andrew
was like.
Andrew has not called me. He doesn't return my text. He doesn't return. I thought his phone was cut off. I called Sean. I was like, hey, call Andrew. Make sure his phone is not cut off.
Just go back to the last 7-8 years of our appearances.
And, to me.
Yeah.
And Sean called and he picked up right away. My mama called. He picks up right away. His godparents call. He picks up right away. The person paying the tuition is calling.
Mm-hmm.
He just
can't imagine why he's not calling back.
I don't know. I tell you what.
Why are so many Republicans going with Kamala? You wrote about this.
I wrote about
Star
this.
Tribune,
Star Tribune.
Community Voices. Why? Oh, like I saw Jim Acosta with your guy Corey Lewandowski, right? Two guys who can be fairly annoying, both of them. Lewandowski wins the championship, but it's kind of close. And he kept saying, Kamala, Kamala, Kamala. And Acosta's like, why can't you just say Kamala? And it's intentional. It is omnipresent. And it's dehumanizing to take someone's name and to have, I can't imagine which overtones they're trying to put out there. You know, and I get some people, it can be a foible, right? Some people can make a mistake. But when the same individuals do it over and over and over and
after
again,
being corrected, it's intentional.
Then it's intentional, and there's a method to it, and that method is gross.
And we have to say the R word is racist.
Yes, it is.
If you
Without
can say
a doubt.
Schwarzenegger,
yes,
Djokovic, and Navratilova, you can say Kamala.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
It's not.
And so the Star Tribune, I'm a columnist with the Star Tribune. I don't know if I mentioned that on the show.
Did
before.
You mention that, Dave? Do we have that in our notes?
But they pursued me, begged me, asked me several times, came to me with several contracts, which I turned down and made them redo them and give me more money.
Shocker.
you know, they ask, you know, if you write columns, that it has to have a local angle. And so I said, I want to write something about Donald Trump and a lot of Republicans intentionally mispronouncing Kamala Harris's name. It's racist, is insulting, it is intentional, and it needs to be brought to light. And I don't think anybody's talking about it the way it needs to be talked about. And I was like, oh, you got to find a local angle. Mm-hmm. And so the great Charles Haumann, Hall of Fame, Minnesota broadcast journalist, covered women's sports here in the Twin Cities for the past 34 years for the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder, and several other people that I talked to and said, hey, has anybody ever done this? Like, intentionally mispronounced black women's names? And they were like, oh, yeah, it's two sports guys. They used to do it. It was a bit. When black girls from North High School would go to the state championships, they would get the roster, and they would intentionally mispronounce their names, and people would call in. And they would all laugh about it. I'm like, oh, hell no.
See, now I have a different view of that.
Okay.
And
That's what I heard.
And I have massive respect for Charles.
That's what I heard.
Dave has the same view as I.
Okay.
This show, and I have more respect for one of those individuals than anybody in town. And the other person has also had a great career. I think they were taking names from all aspects of the state.
Okay.
Including black voices, but also, Dave, you chime in, suburban voices. And more often than not, it was the spelling of the names, too. So I don't believe that was racist. I have a different perspective than what you've had to face in your life every single day than me, a white guy, Dave, a white guy. But there wasn't a time when I listened to that segment repeatedly where I thought this was only directed at black names and voices. You heard it a lot. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I heard names from black kids, white kids, whatever. It was two old guys making fun of younger generations.
That's what I believe. I really do.
Okay. Well, when I talk to not just Charles Haumann, but Faith Patterson Johnson, who was Minnesota High School Basketball Hall of Famer. She won four championships with North High School. She remembers it fondly. She remembers it not fondly. And how insulting it was that these people would get on the radio and mispronounce the names of the girls and make fun of it. And people would call in and laugh. And so I was like, this is my local tie-in to talk about this. And how these women still, these are grown women, Dr. So-and-so. Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, they all still remember this and how it made them feel when they're at the height of their athletic career to be listening to the radio, waiting for somebody to talk about their stats or their accomplishments or whatever it is they were doing, only to listen and have somebody make fun of the name.
Yeah, I just have to jump in to reiterate. I heard, this is Suturine Royce. Okay, let's just say who it is. I heard that segment over and over and over again. And again, I'm a white guy. Okay, I'm not saying we all process things. And yes, there were names from players who most likely were black. But there also were players from the suburbs where you also could have diversity to it. I don't believe in any way it was direct that way. But I also get that people may feel differently when it was about themselves. I love you.
I love you too.
We got to go.
I got a show tomorrow.
Seriously?
12 to 3. Make sure you tune in. The guests will be here. I don't know about me.
Yeah. See ya.